Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Take a few moments to center yourself on the presence of God. Bring your heart before Him. Bring your distractions to Him. What's on your mind? What's on your heart? Historically, the church has referred to this last week of Lent as Holy Week. Each day of the week anticipates the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, the journey from Gethsemane to Golgotha to the Garden Tomb. This morning, as Good Friday approaches, we're going to prayerfully consider the paradox of the good that came from the worst day in history. Consider this quote from John Stott's book, The Cross of Christ. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And we must answer, yes, we were there. Not as spectators only, but as participants, guilty participants, plotting, scheming, betraying, bargaining, and handing him over to be crucified. We may try to wash our hands of responsibility like Pilate, but our attempt will be as futile as his, for there is blood on our hands. Before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us. Indeed, only the man who is prepared to own his share in the guilt of the cross may claim his share in its grace. The same cross that was by us is the same cross that is for us. This morning, we're going to prayerfully consider the cross as both by us and for us. So first, let us consider our active participation in the cross as something done by us. Holy Spirit, come, search us and know us and see if there be any grievous way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Jeremiah 2. "Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Consider the words of Charles Spurgeon. I have a great need, and I have a great Christ for my need. Now how we consider our reception of the cross as something done for us. Holy Spirit, come. Testify to our spirits that we are your children. Therefore, since you have been justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. For our sake, he made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Take a moment to consider Jesus at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you right now. Speaking your name in love to his Father right now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, thank you that the cross that was by us was also for us and was sealed with the approval of the resurrection. The same Jesus who laid his life down for us, rose again, ascended to your right hand, and ever lives to intercede for us. Close with Revelation 1, 17 through 18. When I saw him, Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I had the keys of death in Hades."